Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
Thank you, Wes. That was great. How many of you ever feel a little bit like the words to that song? I just noticed it was written from a guy. I'm just saying, okay? So, wow. Okay, good morning. Again, my name is Cammie Howard, and this morning we're going to continue on our series in the book of James, Faith Works. I love this book. This is one of my favorite books in the Bible, especially because James is a tell-it-like-it-is kind of guy. Now, you know how sometimes you talk to certain people, and midway through what they're saying, they're using a whole lot of words, and you kind of want to stop them and say, I have no idea what you're talking about. But you don't do that. You don't have to worry about that with James. James says it like it is. He's pretty straightforward. This morning, we're going to dive into chapter 3, and we're going to focus on verses 1 through 12. Our focus today is going to be on our tongue, on our speech, which is why that John Mayer song set me up so well this morning. In most Bibles, right above this chapter, the heading of chapter 3, it says, Taming Our Tongues. And that really does encapsulate what this passage is about this morning. Right off the bat, though, I do want to acknowledge that there are different folks represented here today. There are some in this room who are spiritual seekers. Maybe you have never read your Bible. You got dragged to church today. You're trying to figure this whole thing out. Maybe that's you. And then there might be others of you in this room that you've started a relationship with God and you're well on that journey. The encouragement that I want to give you this morning is no matter where you are on that continuum, James has something to say that can be a takeaway for each one of you. So, let's jump in. If you could, please turn in your Bible or follow along on the screen as I read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I was very excited when Mike had asked me to speak on this chapter because I love chapter 3. But that was before I read verse 1. Don't know if you caught that. That's a warning. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Hey, Mike. Yes, Cammie. Can I teach on something else? Thanks. I mean, you know, I read that, and that's a warning for those of us that are up here teaching. But what I want to let you know is when I read that verse, it just helps me to let you know that I take opportunities like this very seriously and want to make sure that what I say is completely aligning to God's word. In verse 2, James puts us at ease when he places us all on a very level playing field by saying, we all stumble in many ways. I am all about sentences like that. It usually disarms me when I know that I'm kind of in the same place as somebody else. Like I used to, when I was studying for a test, I would love to call somebody. And just to kind of make sure that I could feel a little better about myself if I haven't studied, I would try to find that friend that probably hadn't studied too. Hey, you ready for the test? What do you mean you've been studying for 3 days? You know, I mean, at that point, I want to find somebody that's on the same level of a playing field. So James does that. He starts off by saying that we all stumble in many ways, which is true. He doesn't say just some of you stumble in many ways. He says all of us. And then he goes on to say, anyone who is never at fault in what they say, they are perfect. Raise your hand if that describes you. Nobody. First service, somebody, I thought they were raising their hand, but they were scratching their nose. It was awkward. Perfect is not the word that we would use to describe how we are with our words, typically. If we were to listen in to other people's conversations and into their lives, we would definitely be able to verify that statement that we all stumble. Now, we may look at some people's lives and look at some people and think, I mean, that girl, I know, she's never said a bad thing about anybody. There may be those people. But that's not the point that James is trying to make here. Who stumbles less? Who stumbles? He's trying to make the point that we all stumble, to kind of put us all on the same level. I would be hard-pressed to say there has been a day in my life, an hour in my life, that I haven't stumbled with something that I've said, except when I'm asleep, of course. Yes. I would think that most of us would agree here that there have been many times that you just wish that you had a delete button that you could use for things that you've said. Not the easy button, but the delete button. Maybe some of you, it was this morning when you were getting ready for church. You're trying to get everyone here, and maybe you said some things you shouldn't have said. Maybe it was the car ride on the way here. I mean, I can't relate to this because our home is like a symphony on Sunday mornings. But let's just say for some of you, if it's not like that, maybe you said some things this morning that you regret. Maybe you said something to a sibling that you regret, maybe this past week, to a friend. Don't you wish we had a delete button? Okay, do you know that five-second rule when food falls on the floor? Does everybody know the five-second rule? Okay. Yeah, that's right. You've got 5 seconds, give or take, when you drop something on the floor to pick it up, and you can still eat it. I don't care how dirty the floor is because it's within 5 seconds. Okay? Now, I wish that we had that 5-second rule when it comes to our speech. Now, I used to take this pretty seriously, the 5-second thing. Well, with our first child, if a pacifier would drop, I'd be like sterilizing that sucker. Second child, if it's under 5 seconds, I mean, you know, no sterilizing there. So I would love to have that 5-second delay in terms of what I say, what comes out of my mouth, and have 5 seconds to take it back between the time it leaves here and by the time it gets to the hearers of what I'm saying. Because, you know, it usually, within that period of time, you know you said something stupid, right? I mean, within that 5 seconds. But since we do not have the delete button, let's move along. So James starts by saying that we all stumble in many ways, especially concerning our tongue. And then he goes on to give some very powerful analogies for us regarding the tongue, which is one of the main tools that we use to speak. His first pictures are that of a horse and a ship. He says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Both of these images that James just gave us has to do with steering. And so these images refer to the directing of one's whole life. Our tongue and our words are so powerful that they can change the direction of our lives. Our tongue and our words are so powerful that they can change the direction of our lives. Both images that he gave also emphasize the size of the accomplishment. A bit is a very small piece of equipment in the mouth of a horse, and yet it can change the direction of that horse. The rudder of a ship is small in comparison to a ship, even one that's driven by strong winds. And yet, this analogy further emphasizes the magnitude of the tongue's influence, that it can change a direction. And then James goes on to talk about how our tongue is like a fire. He says in verse 5, "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." I told you, James does not mess around, okay? That's probably not one of those verses that you're going to put at the end of a Hallmark card to your friend. All right, I'm officially going to ask you all to do something that I specifically tell my children not to do. You ready? On the count of three, I'm going to ask everyone in here, and I can see you. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you all to stick your tongue out and then to keep it out for a minute, okay? One, two, three. Well, this is just one of those moments that you wish you had the camera up here. You all look great. Okay, now look around. Stick your tongue back out and look around. Awesome. Now, our tongues are very small. If you can look at somebody next to you, their tongue is small in relation to the size of their body, except for maybe a Mick Jagger or a Gene Simmons. So that might date me a little bit. That's the point that James is trying to make here. Our tongues may be small, but they are so powerful. Our tongues may be small, but they sure can get us into trouble. James gives the analogy of a spark and how a small spark can set off a huge fire. He goes so far as to say that our tongue can corrupt our whole body, set the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. These are some very strong words for such a small part of our body. There's a reason why James would spend this much time, 12 verses, on such a small part of our body. I don't know if you've noticed, but there aren't 12 verses in the Bible about your little piggy toes. There aren't. But there are 12 verses and many more about our tongue and our speech. Why? Why is that? Because our words matter. Our words matter. Finish this sentence with me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Okay, the person who came up with that, they're a liar. Not only that, I'm sure they have not been through middle school. Sticks and stones. Okay, words can hurt us. We know that. I imagine that we would all agree with that. Let's move on to finish what James says in these verses. I'll read starting in verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Here's the deal. It is very hard for us to tame our tongues, to keep our tongues under control. James says here that no human being can tame the tongue. We may be able to tame animals, birds, reptiles, but not our tongue. Our tongues can be like a restless evil. Our flesh is hard to control. The tongue is hard to control. We need God's help for both. This is an area of our lives, our speech, where it's good to take a step back and realize that we need God's help to control what we say. If you're like me, it's pretty easy in today's society to fill up our lives, our minds, our hearts with so many different influences. And because of that, it becomes even harder to tame our tongues. Our tongues can be like a restless evil, full of deadly poison, especially when we're filling up our hearts and our minds with trash. It becomes more likely then that trashy words are going to come out of our mouths. It also tends to make a difference who and what we listen to. And it makes a difference who we surround ourselves with in terms of our speech. Have you ever noticed that if you hang out with a negative Nelly or Debbie Downer, that your words will begin to sound like you've been hanging out with those people? Or if you hang out with someone who gossips all the time or curses all the time, it's much easier to find yourself gossiping and cursing because you've been hanging around those people. If the people that you work with are constantly being negative and complaining, doesn't it make it that much easier for you to become negative and to start complaining? On the flip side, however, which we'll get to in a minute, if you're hanging out with people whose words and speech are more uplifting, then that too can make a huge difference on what comes out of your mouth. But the bottom line here is that all human beings, in our own strength and our willpower, we cannot tame our tongues. We need God's help and His intervention. Verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. He's saying that this tongue, this one tongue, it can serve two different purposes, both good and bad. We can praise God with our tongue, as we did earlier in the service through worship and singing. And that same day, maybe within the same hour, we can use this tongue to beat other people down, to curse other people. The same tongue. James goes on here and throws out some more direct words by saying, my brothers and sisters, this should not be that we're using the tongue both ways. In other words, that just ain't right. And then he says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sister, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? And I might add this morning, can a Pepsi fountain produce Diet Coke? No, it can't. I wish that would change. I'm the person that goes to the restaurant. I'd like a Diet Coke. Is Pepsi okay? No, it's not okay, but I'll take it. Thanks. Our tongue seems to be a bit unnatural in that both praise and cursing come from the same source. So our tongue is a very powerful part of our body. There is no denying that. If you've ever been hurt by someone who has used their words in a negative way, then you know what I mean. I would venture to say that everyone in this room, everybody in this room, has experienced the negative impact of words at some point. And I also imagine that everyone in this room has experienced the impact of positive words spoken as well. I think about the power of our words on a less personal note. For example, if I'm thinking about going to see a movie and somebody says, that movie is hilarious, I laughed the whole time. Now, that's going to probably impact whether or not I go see that movie. I'll probably go see it. On the same token, if I'm asking somebody about that movie and they say, oh my gosh, that movie stunk. I can't even believe they call them actors. I wouldn't even pay $1.07 on Redbox for that movie. That, too, would impact whether or not I go see that movie. It's started to be for me that if I'm going to go to a movie, a restaurant, go on a trip, one of the first things I do is I check reviews about that place. I read TripAdvisor if I'm going on a trip. And guess what? The reviews that I read make a difference. Why? Again, because our words matter. And our words, our opinions, are expressed mostly through words. Our words, as well as the words of others, can steer us in one direction or another. So we've heard this morning what James says about the tongue, but I also want to look at a few other places in Scripture that talk about the tongue and refer to our words. One of the best places to look at in Scripture that talks about our tongue is the book of Proverbs. That's a great source to learn about the tongue and the power of our words. For example, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. Our words can bring life and hope to others, or they can have the same effect as death on people's souls. That's pretty powerful. I want to share an example with you this morning of a time in my life when I experienced the benefit of the tongue and words having the power of life. In October 2008, my husband Philip and I gave birth to our son Zach, who is now 2.5 years old. Shortly after Zach was born, we found out that he has Down syndrome. Our world stopped spinning in that moment when we heard those words. Questions began to fill our minds. Down syndrome? What is that? Our perfect child, our perfect baby has Down syndrome? What's life going to be like? What's his life going to be like? Is he going to be able to walk? Is he going to be able to talk? Is he going to be able to play sports? What's our family going to be like now? God, this isn't the picture that I had in mind when I thought about my family. If you've ever had a time when the unexpected has entered your life, as it did for us that day in October, then you know it can change everything. And I know many of your stories in this room well enough to know that we're not the only ones who've received life-altering news in our lives. If you're one of those people who's received news, unexpected news that's changed the direction of your life, I want you to think back on that day. Think back on that room, that place where you were sitting when you received that news. As you think back on that day, I wonder if you remember any of the words that were spoken to you that day or during that season of your life. For us, the same day that we let others know about Zach, that he had Down syndrome, that our journey was going to be different, the words, the calls, the emails, the Facebook posts came flooding in for us that day. Remember, the tongue has the power of life and death. My husband and I experienced life through words that were spoken to us and prayed over us, not only that day, but in the days and weeks and months that followed. Here are the emails and the Facebook posts that we received during that time. A few weeks into our journey, I compiled all of these messages because I knew that I was going to need these words, not only then, but later on. It was very encouraging for me to go back 2.5 years later and read these words that some of you even sent to us during that time. 14 pages of life-giving words. One day during those first few weeks, a card came in the mail. And you know, for most of us, getting a handwritten note, that's different today. And so this note came from a friend of mine that I had served in youth ministry with before. This was a friend who had at some point in her life, a few years before, had experienced life-altering news when she found out that her youngest son, Taylor, was diagnosed with leukemia. This note I received in the mail that really changed the direction for me. Dear Cammy, I heard about the Down's diagnosis for your son, and I've been meaning to write ever since. Congratulations are certainly in order. As you know, he will be and is intended to be a blessing to your family. However, even though our situations are different, I know the weight of the realization that your child and family will face challenges you never imagined. I remember thinking, wow, Lord, we're really going to walk this road? And here's a sentence that really changed things for me. But a few short weeks down that road, you find your new normal, and you stop feeling different, special, or even heroic. People say to me frequently, I don't know how you do it, but to be honest, I don't notice anymore that I'm doing anything. This is just our family. The times when it's hard, when things look hopeless or even scary, are paradoxically the mountaintops. You're never closer with God, your husband, your friends, than in those moments of great need. It's strange to say, but on many levels, I miss that degree of intensity in my relationships. God really does find ways to bring good out of the most seemingly bad situations. You've been in love with your son for 9 months and in love with the Lord much longer. And for those reasons, I'm confident that you are handling this unexpected news with expectant hope and peace. My best to you and Philip as you walk this road. Life-giving words. Life-giving words. In this case, the tongue had the power of life. Those words and the countless words of others, they brought life and hope to us. We're reminded through Proverbs, our words matter. They have the power of life and death. I want to switch gears here just a little bit and talk about one more aspect of our words that Proverbs touches on, and that is gossip. Gossip. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. And then Proverbs 26:22, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. Have you ever had someone use words of gossip against you? If you have, you know that it can hurt. The worst is when people try to cover up gossip, and we in the South are really good about this. We try to cover up gossip in the form of a prayer request. Okay? You know what I'm saying. Yeah, have you heard about Sam? Yeah, I mean, he is totally walking down the other wrong path. Here are a few things that he was doing. Ba-ba, 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 ba-ba. We really need to pray for him. There's definitely a difference between the sharing of information because you truly care about someone or you need to get something off your chest and when you're just gossiping about someone. I tend to know the difference for myself. Here are a couple definitions that I found of gossip. Gossip is casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed to be true. And then another definition, conversation or reports about other people's private lives, which might be unkind, disapproving, or not true. Remember, the tongue has the power of life and death. Gossip is a prime example of using the tongue in a way that causes our words to have the power of death. And then one other proverb that talks about our words. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. In the English Standard Version, this reads, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Love it. Do you find that to be true in your own life? I'm sure there are many men here. If you haven't heard anything, men, listen up. This is a great verse for you to use with your wife. If she's constantly saying, honey, I just wish you'd talk more. I wish you'd share more. You could just throw this out. Honey, the reason why I don't talk much is when words are many, it leads to sin. Proverbs 10:19. I definitely have had times that I have found myself saying, if only I had kept my mouth shut. This proverb backs that up for me. When words are many, there's a greater chance for sin. So we need to be wise with our words. We need to be wise with our words. So I want to bring this home for us today. James has done a great job of giving us many warnings about the tongue and explaining to us that the tongue has great power and that it can change the direction not only of our lives, but also the lives of others. The tongue can be used for blessing others, and it can be used for cursing others. The tongue can be used for building others up, and it can also be used for tearing others down. Why is this so important? Is there something deeper that we need to look at than just the words that are coming out of our mouths? I think there is. I believe that our words are a direct reflection of what is in our hearts. Our words are a direct reflection of what is in our hearts and a direct reflection of our relationship with God. Our words are a direct reflection of what's in our hearts and our relationship with God. I wasn't the one who thought of this correlation between our words, our heart. It says in Luke 6:45, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Another version translates it, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. As you move into summer, things might be slowing down a little bit, or maybe in a couple weeks they will. As you evaluate your life, if you take time to do that, what comes to mind when you think about your heart and your relationship with God? What comes to mind? Are you open to or are you closed off to a relationship with God? Where are you on your spiritual journey? Where are you on your spiritual journey? Is your heart soft to spiritual things, or are you finding it to be cold and calloused towards God? maybe because of some circumstances or some unexpected news that you've experienced or received. James, in this chapter, he has us reflect on our tongue, which is important, especially because the tongue is a direct correlation between what's going on in our heart and our personal journey with God. Answering those questions that I just gave, that's even more important than the words that are coming out of our mouths. Answering those questions about where we are in our heart and our relationship with God. So I want to offer up today a few questions of reflection when it comes to your heart and therefore your words. If you're somebody that writes things down, then I'd encourage you to write these questions down and maybe go back to them sometime later in the week. Number one, what is your heart full of? What is your heart full of? Are you allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in your life? Number two, are you harboring unforgiveness and anger in your heart towards someone? Are you harboring unforgiveness and anger in your heart towards someone? Number three, what seems to most naturally pour out of your mouth? Is it criticism and negative words, or words of life and hope that are a blessing to others? What's the most natural outpouring of your mouth? Criticism and negative words, or words of life and hope that are a blessing to others? And then lastly, is your spiritual tank empty? Is your spiritual tank empty? If it is, then that will most likely have a direct impact on the words that are coming out of your mouth. I know that it does for me. Now, I'm going to assume this morning that if I said to each one of you, okay, you realize that your words matter. We've talked about that today. You know your tongue has the power of life and death. Now, would you rather take steps towards your words being words of life or death to others? Ooh, I choose death. No, not many of you in this room would readily raise your hand and say, I want my words to be words of death. So, we know that it isn't easy and we know we need God's help. But pretty much everyone in here would say they have the desire for our words to be life-giving to others. So as we come to a close today, I want to offer a few practical ways that can lead to our words being life-giving to others. Our first application comes from none other than James himself. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. In other words, choose your words carefully. In James 1:19, he says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, this has become a life verse for me because I don't ever seem to get this one right. The problem is that myself and so many of us, we live as though this verse says, be slow to listen, be quick to speak, and very quick to become angry. Isn't that how we often live our lives? But if we would think and pray before words come out of our mouths, especially in heated situations, if you know what I mean, if we would take the time to think and pray and be slow to speak before words come out of our mouths, can you imagine what a difference that would make? Be slow to speak. Secondly, use a filter. Use a filter. How many times have you been around people and they seem to have absolutely no filter for what comes out of their mouth? You probably all thought of someone. Don't say it out loud. Okay, there are those people that whatever comes into their mind seems to come right out, and it can sometimes hurt people in the process. The filter that I want to encourage us to use today is the Ephesians 4:29 filter. Ephesians 4:29 filter, which says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If there's a verse that I would encourage you to memorize, if this is something that you have a hard time with, as I do, then it would be this one, Ephesians 4:29. The message version of this verse says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Say only what is helpful for building others up, not tearing them down. And I love that it goes on to say that it would benefit those who listen. What if our conversations benefited not only the person who's listening in front of us, but people who are around? What if they heard those conversations? It could benefit them. Think about your hallway conversations, your phone conversations. Are they benefiting those who are listening? I think one way that this applies today is through Facebook and Twitter. What if we applied the Ephesians 4:29 verse, the Ephesians 4:29 filter to those words? Many people are reading those words, whether you know it or not. Are you allowing those words to be life or death? Are they benefiting those who read them? And third and last point, keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. What do I mean by that? Don't let things build up and build up and build up between you and another person. If you do, it becomes much, much easier once you've let things build up that if they do one thing that ticks you off, you'll have a greater chance of your words at that moment coming out like a fire hydrant, like you've just unscrewed. You're going to have a greater chance of that than a nice slow trickle if you have not kept short accounts. A lot of times we think we're doing somebody a favor by not saying something. But oftentimes when we do that, it just becomes an explosion of words later. So keep short accounts. And by doing so, you're going to allow your words a much greater chance of bringing life, of building up and not tearing down. So be slow to speak, use a filter, and keep short accounts. James has reminded us today through these verses in chapter 3, our tongues are very powerful. They can steer the direction of our lives. Our words matter. At the end of this school year, our family gave a gift to my daughter's kindergarten teacher, who our family absolutely loves. I mean, who doesn't love kindergarten teachers, okay? Now, our kindergarten teacher, Miss Mary, I mean, she rocks. She is awesome. So we gave her a gift, and the night before we were giving her that gift, it was right before, like, kindergarten graduation day. You know, everything's a graduation today, okay? And so the night before, I was writing the words to Miss Mary of the ways that she's blessed our life, the way she's been an encouragement to Taylor, our daughter, and also to our family as well. I was crying writing these words. And they came really easily because I had so many things that I wanted to say about her. Last week, we received a thank you note from Miss Mary. And I was reminded again of the power of our words. She said this: "Your sweet card is one I will save forever. I'll pull it out when I get discouraged. Thanks so much for taking the time to write it. It means more to me than my paycheck." My hope and prayer for all of us this morning is that we'll take the time to first check out the condition of our heart and our relationship with God. And then once we've done that, secondly, move towards speaking words of life and hope to others. Let me pray for us. God, thank you.